Friday mornings from 8:30 to 9, we get with America's greatest political satirist and humorist. You can learn more about Bill Melberg, U of I alum, by the way, at aneveningwiththepresidents.com. Welcome, Mr. Bill Melberg. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hi, happy New Year.
Good morning, Connect FM listeners, and welcome to Election 2012. Yes, that's the Iowa fight song, with our apologies to Illini fans. But the Iowa fight song reminds us that the fight for the Republican nomination for president began this Tuesday with the Iowa caucus.
Yeah, it certainly did, Bill, and continuing all of the twists and turns of the past year, in the Republican race for that nomination, the contest took another turn on Tuesday with Senator Rick Santorum's dramatic rise from the back of the pack to the top of the heap.
Yes, just a week or two ago, Rick Santorum was Senator who? But as of Tuesday night in Iowa, he follows, let's see now, Donald Trump, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, Herman Cain, and Newt Gingrich as the latest anyone but Mitt Romney in the Republican race for president.
And with those introductory comments, let's go to Iowa City, Iowa, where our Connect FM campaign 2012 analysts are standing by to give us their insights on the Iowa caucus. Joining us now are former presidents Bill Clinton.
Hi, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
Happy New Year, Diane.
Hi.
I missed you last week.
I know. Would have been fun to be there for the countdown.
And his Republican predecessor, George H.W. Bush.
Good morning, Stevie and Diane. Great to be back with you here.
Gentlemen, you might recognize this song. It's called Entry of the Gladiators, and most people probably recognize the tune from The Circus, where it's often played as the circus acts enter the ring. And the 2012 Republican race for president has certainly taken on all the characteristics of a three-ring circus, hasn't it? I mean, we got Mitt Romney in one ring, Ron Paul in another ring, and now Rick Santorum has finally entered the ring where so many others once stood.
That's right, Stevie. But in the first votes of the 2012 election year, my man, the guy I endorsed, my fellow millionaire and country club member, Mitt Romney, won the Iowa caucus decisively.
Well, actually, Mr. President, it was basically a tie because your man, Mitt Romney, won by only 8 votes. That's 8 votes out of more than 100,000 votes that were cast for him and Senator Santorum. So wasn't it really a moral victory for Rick Santorum? I mean, 8 votes, come on!
Stevie, all you need is 1 vote to win, and Mitt got 8 votes. So in my opinion, that's a landslide.
But wasn't it really a tie at best? After all, they both won the same number of delegates.
No, you're incorrect, Stevie. Senator Santorum won 12 delegates. Governor Romney won 13 delegates. That's 13 to 12, putting Mitt up by 1. And that's all it takes to win 1 delegate. So if the delegate count is close when we get to the convention in August, Mitt has got 1 more Iowa delegate than Rick. And it only takes 1 to win, as Al Gore found out 12 years ago when he ran against my son W.
Speaking of Al Gore, let's bring his former boss Bill Clinton into this discussion. Mr. President, what are your thoughts about the Iowa caucus, sir?
Well, Stevie, I'll put my main thought on hold for a moment so that I can add something to this question of who won the Iowa caucus.
Okay.
And I tend to agree with you. Although Governor Romney won officially by a measly 8 votes, he actually got fewer votes than he did in Iowa 4 years ago. Now, after spending 5 years and millions of his own dollars running for president, I think it was a rather poor showing to tie for first place with a guy who nobody paid any attention to during the entire past year. I'm referring, of course, to
Senator Santorum.
That's the guy.
Yeah, well, let's listen to Senator Santorum, as he gave his victory speech in Iowa on Tuesday night.
Game on. Thank you so much, Iowa. you by standing up and not compromising, by standing up and being bold and leading with that burden and responsibility you have to be first. You have taken the first step of taking back this country.
There he is, Rick Santorum, game on. And in the interest of fairness and equal time, here's the main senator. Here's the man Senator Santorum was tied with in Iowa, former Governor Mitt Romney.
We don't know what the final vote tally is going to be, but congratulations to Rick Santorum. This has been a great victory for him and for his effort. He's worked very hard in Iowa. We also feel it's been a great victory for us here, for Ron Paul as well. Ron Paul's had a great night. This has been terrific. I think it's great that here in the heartland of America that a campaign begins. All three of us will be campaigning very hard to make sure that we restore the heart and soul of the entire nation. And thank you, Iowa, for the great send-off you're giving to us and to the others in this campaign. Look, this is a campaign night where America wins. We're going to change the White House and get America back on track.
President Bush, your reaction to those remarks, sir?
Stevie, as I said before, Mitt won. 8 votes, 13 delegates. Senator What's-His-Name only got 12 delegates. And now it's on to New Hampshire.
All right, President Clinton.
Well, Stevie and Diane, after all those GOP debates last year, I finally got to hear what Senator What's-His-Name sounds like. I mean, up until now, he was always that guy standing by himself at the far right end of the debate stage. But I'm sorry to say that another one of the candidates who stood there with her fellow Republicans has now left the stage. I refer, of course, to Michelle Bachmann, my favorite Republican. And frankly, I'm going to really miss Michelle Bachmann in tomorrow night's debate. But I'm quite certain that we haven't seen the last of her. So if you'll allow me a point of personal privilege, I'd like to send out a personal message at this time to Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
Please do, sir.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always
do,
till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.
I'll miss you, Michelle.
And will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them that I won't be long, and they'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing
your song.
We'll meet again. Don't know where.
Don't know when.
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Wait a minute now. That isn't you, President Clinton. That's the late great Johnny Cash singing "We'll Meet Again."
I know. But that's how I feel about Michelle Bachmann, and I just hope we'll meet again.
Well, I know we'll be meeting again, probably after the South Carolina primary the week after next. But right now, as we thank Presidents Bush and Clinton for joining us from Iowa, let's switch to our regular point-counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat Massachusetts, for their astute observations about the Iowa caucus. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Stevie, my friend. Good morning, Diane,
morning.
My friend. Good morning, Mitt Romney, my friend, if you're listening. Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
Hello, Connect FM listeners.
Gentlemen, our time is short. So what's your take on the Iowa caucus, Senator John McCain?
Stevie, my friend Mitt Romney won Iowa. He's going to win New Hampshire, and thanks to my endorsement on Wednesday, and with my advice in the months to come, he'll win the election in November.
Congressman Frank?
Your advice? Goodness gracious. I think Senator McCain forgets that he was a woozer 4 years ago, and Mitt Romney was a woozer, too. But if I had my choice, I would much rather have Mitt Romney as president than that disgusting man, Wick Santorum. Wick is a white-wing fanatic, although I do appreciate his wean build, his chiseled features, and his woman nose.
All right, Congressman Frank, once again, you had the last word for today. Stay tuned, because when we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will have some words of wisdom for us right here. 93.5, 95.3. Round Barn and Champagne for the Cardinal Caravan. Round Barn Champagne week from today.
Noon. That's right.
All right, we're back with political humorist Bill Melberg. Bill, last week you had some words of wisdom for us from President John Kennedy. I understand that you have some words of wisdom for us today. Who are we going to hear this morning, my friend?
Well, Stevie and Diane, this morning we're going to hear President Ronald Reagan giving us a history lesson about America in his farewell address as president 23 years ago, and here it is.
This national feeling is good, but it won't count for much, and it won't last unless it's grounded in thoughtfulness and knowledge. An informed patriotism is what we want. And are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? Those of us who are over 35 or so years of age grew up in a different America. We were taught very directly what it means to be an American. And we absorbed almost in the air a love of country and an appreciation of its institutions. If you didn't get these things from your family, you got them from the neighborhood. From the father down the street who fought in Korea, or the family who lost someone at Anzio. Or you could get a sense of patriotism from school. And if all else failed, you could get a sense of patriotism from the popular culture. The movies celebrated democratic values and implicitly reinforced the idea that America was special. TV was like that too, through the mid-60s. But now we're about to enter the 90s, and some things have changed. Younger parents aren't sure that an unambivalent appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children. And as for those who create the popular culture, well-grounded patriotism is no longer the style. Our spirit is back, but we haven't re-institutionalized it. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise. And freedom is special and rare. It's fragile. It needs production. So we've got to teach history based not on what's in fashion, but what's important. Why the pilgrims came here, who Jimmy Doolittle was, and what those 30 seconds over Tokyo meant. You know, 4 years ago, on the 40th anniversary of D-Day, I read a letter from a young woman writing to her late father, who had fought on Omaha Beach. Her name was Lisa Zanata Hen, and she said, "We will always remember, we will never forget what the boys of Normandy did." Well, let's help her keep her word. If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. I'm warning of an eradication of that, of the American memory that could result ultimately in an erosion of the American spirit. Let's start with some basics. More attention to American history and a greater emphasis on civic ritual. And let me offer lesson number one about America. All great change in America begins at the dinner table. So tonight in the kitchen, I hope the talking begins. And children, if your parents haven't been teaching you what it means to be an American, let them know and nail them on it. That would be a very American thing to do.
Wow. Ronald Reagan, we've got to teach history based not on what's in fashion, but what's important.
Yes, and remember, as Edmund Burke said, those who don't know history are destined to repeat it.
Yep.
So as we march headlong into this year's race for the White House. I hope the American people will learn from history rather than repeating it.
Yeah, Bill, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much again for your time and talent.
Always great to be here, and I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of politics.
You betcha. Thank you. And eveningwiththepresidents.com. Bill Melberg. Thank you, Diane.
Enjoy the day.
I'm Stevie J. Thank you for listening.